As we come this morning on this beautiful Lord's Day, our hearts are full of the joy of the Lord, His love, His mercy, and His grace. We read at the very beginning of the founding of Bethlehem Church on February the 6th, 1824, when they said, "We, a few scattering Baptists in this wilderness country, feeling our lonesome situation as sheep, having no shepherd, often having conferred together, agreed to have a meeting house on lot number 17 in the District 10, and it was formerly Monroe County, and then it was part of Pike County. Of course, now it's a part of Upson County on the west side of the creek. That's a reference to Tobler Creek. And then you can read the rest as we see there. But before we go into the Word of God, we're going to try to sing a very familiar heaven hymn, "Sweet Beulah Land." Someday, all of those who have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that faith has been given to us in regeneration, will stand in heaven's Beulah land. That word Beulah means the land that's married, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are His bride, His church. We're going to turn this morning to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 is a very familiar passage of Scripture, and it's often used in homecoming services, Jesus, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, gives three parables of the lost and found. The lost and the found. Have you ever been at work or a school and they have a place for the lost and found items? I know at my wife's school, things get lost by their children sometimes, and they take it to the office and they have a lost and found where people can identify items that they lost and retrieve those items. Well, in Luke chapter 15, we find the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. Now, when we think about lost and found, the implication is that the owner had something and it got misplaced, or in the case of the son, who went astray. But we find that in all three cases, it already belonged to the owner. The sheep belonged to the shepherd. The coin belonged to the woman who had it. The son that went astray was always the son of his father. He didn't cease to be his son when he left his father's home. He was always his son. And that's the way it is with you and me as God's dear children. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "the iniquity of us all." Sheep implies that we belong unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came, it says in Luke chapter 19, to seek and to save that which was lost. His people, his children, that his heavenly Father gave to him before the foundation of the world and the covenant of grace. But what happened to all of us? We all went astray, didn't we? And we went astray because our first father, Adam, failed to keep the very first commandment that God gave. And ever since then, mankind is born in trespasses and in sin. But Jesus came in the fullness of time to seek and to redeem. That word "to redeem" means to buy back, to purchase back. And so we were his before the fall in sin, and we were his when he went to the cross, and bless your heart, we're still his today. We have been redeemed. Now, when Jesus began to speak these parables in Luke chapter 15, look into the context in which he spoke. "Then drew near unto him all of the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured," or complained, "saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. And then he," Jesus, "spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let's pray once more. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this beautiful day You've given to us to worship You. You are great and mighty, and we thank You for sending Jesus to die for our sins. I thank You for the Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church and the privilege that I've had all these many years to serve You here with them. And bless this family celebrating 50 years of marriage. We're thankful for them, and we pray that they might have many more to come. Be with us now. Open our hearts to Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There were so many times in the ministry of Jesus when those Pharisees and scribes, they were always going around trying to get Jesus tripped up in His speech and trying to get Him to say something or go somewhere and that they could accuse Him of some heinous act or some heinous sin, that they could say that He's not the Son of God, that they could get rid of His power or His influence over His followers. But throughout the Gospels, it's said repeatedly that Jesus went to the publicans and sinners. Who were the publicans? Those were Jewish men who were enlisted or who were employed by the Roman government to collect the Roman tax from the Israelite children, from the Hebrew nation. Most of them were dishonest. Most of them would take more than what was required and lined their own pockets and got rich. But we find that as He went to those folks, those publicans and sinners, they received Him gladly and heard His message. For example, look in Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, in the early days of Jesus' ministry, He was beginning to call His apostles. And He had called Peter and John and Andrew. And now He finds Matthew, whose name is also Levi. And he was one of these publicans who were hated by the Jews. And it says this in Mark chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. And He, Jesus, went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted to Him, and He taught them. And as He passed by, isn't it wonderful when Jesus passes by you and me? He does on a daily basis. As Jesus passed by, He saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom. And He said unto him, "Follow me." So what did this man do? He was one of those hated publicans, a tax collector. It says that he arose and followed him. He immediately, I believe, left his money on the table and followed after the Lord Jesus Christ. Evidently, the Holy Spirit had worked in his heart, and he knew that he was collecting more tax than he should. And so he left that vocation of dishonesty, and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And it came to pass, evidently, this man invited Jesus to have dinner in his home. It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, this man's house, this publican, that there were many publicans and sinners also that sat together with Jesus and His disciples. He invited His friends to hear the message of Jesus Christ. There were many of them, and they were following Him, the Lord Jesus. And here's these scribes and Pharisees again. It says in verse 16, "And when the scribes and Pharisees saw Him, Jesus, eat with publicans and sinners, they said to His disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinks with publicans and sinners? Then when Jesus heard that, he answered and said, here's what I came for. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but rather sinners to repentance. And so what was Jesus saying in our text in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7? Jesus said, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now he's referring there to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious elite. They believed in God, but they had a self-righteousness about them. They trusted in their own good works. They believed that their own good works saved them for heaven. But we know that the Bible teaches salvation by grace, not by works. And so we find that these publicans and sinners, who evidently had repented of their former lifestyles, they were following the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that in heaven itself, that the angels rejoice over more over one who repents than of those who feel like they need no repentance. The scribes were those who wrote the Word of God. In those days, they didn't have a printing press, and so the scribes made copies of the Bible for distribution. That was their job. And they were the theologians of the day. But he says that he compared them to those who felt as if they had no sin of which to repent. And so we find he speaks about his sheep. God's people are referred to as sheep often in the Scriptures. Why? Because we are so prone to wander and go astray. Unless a good shepherd keeps diligent watch over his flock, they can easily go astray. Look in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus tells us that He is the good shepherd. Look with me. And He teaches us that He is the good shepherd. In John chapter 10, He says, beginning, if you will, in let's look in verse 7. He says in verse 7, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is. And all that ever came before me are only thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Those that would deceive God's people and lead them astray, they are false shepherds. Jesus says, I'm the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That is, will be delivered from those stumbling blocks that keep us from serving the Lord effectively. And we will go in and out in fellowship with Him and find pasture in those green fields. Satan, who's a thief, comes not but for to steal and kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, but not just eternal life, but I'm also come that they may have it more abundantly. We are God's children if we are born of His Spirit, but we don't have to wait till we get to heaven to enjoy our salvation. We can enjoy the life in Christ now while we're living as we follow after Him. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And drop down if you would and look in verse 27 and 28. There's a great assurance in this. We cannot lose our salvation. For he says in verse 27 of John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So there's great security in our good shepherd who gave his life to save us from our sin. And so in Luke 15, we find this parable of the lost sheep. One is just as important as 100. I've often said this. If I were the only one for whom the Lord would come to the earth to save, I believe He would. But He came to save a great multitude of people, more than the sands of the seashore or the stars of the sky. But each individual believer is just as important as anyone else. And so we find it's a very personal salvation. He cares for each of you individually. And when we go astray, He seeks after us. Yes, He will chasten us with His rod of correction. But it's only because He loves us. You know, the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 13, "What father would not chasten his own children who go astray? Even so, how much more does our Heavenly Father chasten you and me?" And so we find there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents more than 99 who feel themselves to not need any repentance. And then look in verses 8, 9, and 10 of Luke 15. There's the parable of the lost coin. Now, these coins were very precious in this day. And there was a woman who had 10 pieces of silver. And she lost one of those pieces of silver. But what did she do? She lit a candle and swept her house and sought diligently until she found that coin that she lost. And when she found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found that piece which I lost." And again he says the same thing as he said with the sheep. "Likewise I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." How can we repent of our sin? Only when the Lord gives us that gift. It is a gift from our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans 2 and 4. In Romans 2 and 4, he asked the Roman believers, "Or despisest thou the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Do we think little of God's goodness or patience, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" The goodness of God leads us to repentance. And so it was that each of these parables of lost and found in Luke 15 teaches the very same truth. It is the goodness of God. And it is teaching us that we have such a good shepherd, such a great shepherd, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Even when we displease Him and go astray, He still loves us. He goes after us that we might return to Him and be in fellowship with Him once again. that we might do those things that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And then we find the most famous of the three parables, and it's the one you know the best, the parable of the lost son, often called the parable of the prodigal son. Actually, we should say that it's the parable of the lost sons, plural. There were two sons, the older and the younger. Typically, we focus more on the younger son, but look what Jesus said. A certain man had two sons, Luke 15:11. And the younger of the two said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now, fathers don't normally give an inheritance to their children until after they die. I mean, that's the point of your inheritance, right? An inheritance, you don't get it until your parents have gone on, right? But this younger son, he wanted his inheritance while his father was still living. And that seems like an insult to his father to me. They said, give me. Now, don't we have that mentality today, the give me mentality? Give me, give me, give me. I want it and I want it now. And that was his mentality. Give me the portion of goods that falls to me. But now the father knew, I believe he knew what would happen. But in the wisdom the Lord gave him, I believe he was giving his son a test. And we know what happened. He failed that test. But nevertheless, he divided unto them, not just the younger son, but to both of his sons, the older and the younger one. He divided unto both of them his living. And it didn't take long. But what happened? The younger son left home, and the older one stayed at home. It wasn't many days after that the younger son gathered all of his belongings together, and he took his journey into a far country. What did he do? He wasted his substance with riotous living. He did not honor his father, but rather he wasted his inheritance on riotous living. And he found himself in a miserable condition. And when he had spent all that he had, no money left, then there arose a great famine in the land. There was a great dearth upon the land. And he began to be in want or to be in need. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country. And that citizen sent him into his fields to feed swine. There would be nothing more demeaning to a Jewish person than to feed the pigs in the swine pit. You know, Jews would not eat pork because that was an unclean animal. And so here he is at the very bottom, very lowly, and he would fain to have filled his belly even with the husk that the swine did eat, but no man gave anything to him. He became completely destitute. But then look in verse 17. And when he came to himself, how did he come to himself? On his own? No. Remember Romans 2:4, it is the goodness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. It's the effectual drawing power of God's Holy Spirit that leads us to repentance. And he comes to himself and he says, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to eat and to spare here, and I'm perishing with hunger. Even his servants were taken care of. But he's not a servant. He's a son. And so he comes to a place of repentance. And what does he say? I will arise and go to my Father. I think that's where that title of that hymn comes from. We have a hymn that says, I will arise and go to my Father. And that's what all of us need to do every day. Now, repentance from our sin is not a one-time event. It should be a daily thing because we fall short daily. And He's going to confess to His Father and say, Father, I have sinned. First of all, against heaven. First, he recognized his sin was first against God. And then it was against, secondly, his earthly father. I have sinned against heaven and before you. And he feels himself to be so lowly that he says to his own father, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. He went out saying, give me. And he comes back saying, make me. There's a great difference there, right? He wanted all for himself, but now he says, just make me. You know, that's what Jesus did for you and me. We were originally made in the image of God when we were created. But we fell in sin. But when Jesus died for our sin, He remade us again in His own likeness and in His own image. And now, He is remaking us every day, conforming us to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But what did His Father do? He arose and came to His Father, but when He was yet a great way off, evidently the Father would daily watch to see if His Son would return home. And He did. And His Father saw Him, and what did He have? He had compassion on Him. He had compassion. In Matthew chapter 9, we find Jesus has compassion for you and for me. And this is the scriptures that the founders of Bethlehem Church used in 1824 when they founded this church. And it says when Jesus, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, and Jesus, when he went about all the cities, villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, Jesus was moved with compassion. Just like this father was moved with compassion for his son who was returning home. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad like sheep having no shepherd. They needed to return to the great shepherd and bishop of their souls. And that's who Jesus is today, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And so he fell, he had compassion on him, he ran, fell on his neck, he kissed him, and the son said to his father, I have sinned, first against heaven and then in your sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But what did his father do? He said, bring forth the best robe that you can find to put on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf. Kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. He didn't know if he was dead or alive physically. But he had been dead to fellowship in the father's house. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And then they began to make merry. Just like the one sheep out of the hundred, the one coin out of 10 silver coins, the son who went astray, lost and then found. You know, we're never in a place where Jesus doesn't know where we are. It says in Psalms 139, regardless of where we go, the Lord knows where we are. That can be a comfort to us, or it can be a fear to us, because if we're walking astray, it should be fearful to us. The eyes of God are open and naked, and there is no place to hide. But we find it's also a comfort, because He knows where we are. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. The older son stayed home, and he felt like he'd been cheated. But he hadn't been cheated. He had everything of the father's house. The older son was more like the scribes and the Pharisees who came trying to trip up the Lord. But we find, he says in verse 32, it was meet, it was appropriate, it was fitting that we should make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's now found. And so on this Lord's Day, I pray that each of us may search our own heart and our own heart and mind. You know, it says in Psalms 139, and I want to close with these words, the last two verses of Psalms 139, and I just made reference to it, there's no place we can go where the Lord doesn't know where we are. Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God. Only a child of God who's feeling repentant over sin can say this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I want to be led by the Master's hand every day. I want to be led not just to know that I have eternal life, but that I also might live it more abundantly. And that's my prayer for you and for each and every one of us. God bless you is my prayer for Christ.